to God. Out of Zion's hills, salvation comes. And I've had the honor and the privilege of hanging out with youth in this congregation and other congregations and at district events and conference events. And when they sing this song and they move to that chorus, they begin to dance and they'll sing, Behold, He Comes, riding on the clouds. And you can see them acting like people on a horse, shining like the sun. And I think about Christ coming and the sense of glory and wonder and joy that those youth and those leading them are in that room. And you may even have experienced it here this morning, of that sense of majesty of God coming and bringing salvation. Salvation comes. Riding on a cloud. And I always think of those white horses from those old westerns. You know, the hero always rode a white horse and he was dressed in white and just came in the nick of time to save the damsel in distress or to save whatever. But I think for me, the epic vision of what it might look like to see Christ coming in the clouds happened in J.R.R. Tolkien's Lord of the Rings. It happens when everybody is at this castle, this place where they think they're safe. They're at the keep. And the elves and everybody has joined them, but the hordes of evil that are upon them are just swarming and swarming and swarming, and they manage to break the wall. And just when you think these heroes of old are all going to die, behold, he comes, Gandalf the White. There he is on his white horse, in his white robe, with his white beard flowing and his white hair flowing, as he comes up over the hill with all the armies on horseback that he can to save the day. Now, it's the turn in that story before good triumphs over evil. But when I think about Christ coming and bringing salvation, that image of Christ coming on the clouds is kind of that sweeping sense of God coming to earth and just like a big explosion, wiping out sin all the way from one end to the next. And there appears in the midst of it all the new heaven and the new earth. But we're not there yet. And I want to tell you that that time, that generation that's talked about in this scripture, began when the babe was born in Bethlehem. And that generation will continue until he comes again riding on a cloud. So in the meantime, what are we to do who are here waiting and watching and seem to be hanging on a cliff? Whether it's fiscal or not. Because we feel like we are overpowered and overcome by the evils of the world. That we've had too much death in our lives. That we've had too much cancer in our lives. That we've had financial pitfalls that we never expected in our lives. That our lives seem to be falling apart and we are completely out of control. And someone else has it. And we want to know who. Because they seem to keep zapping it from us. Well, brothers and sisters, that is when we allow fear. That is when we allow grief. That is when we allow the darkness into our lives in such a way that it begins to shadow over the light. The things of life that come and struggle and we have to fight with are part of this change in who we are. And if you heard Jeremiah's words this morning, we are a people who have been waiting for a very, very, very long time. But what this message of salvation is about God's faithfulness. That God is faithful and God will come. And God brings light into even that darkness. And that all we have to do is believe. All we have to do is surrender to the light, to say no to the darkness, to know that even in the midst of what it seems to be falling apart at our feet, that God is even there. That God is even there saying, come to me. Release everything you're holding on to, even here in these pits. And know that I am in control. Know that if you surrender to me, you might not suddenly be healed, but you will have the strength and the courage and all you need to step the next step, to take the next breath, because I am with you. God Emmanuel, God with us, God with us in the darkness, God bringing the light. So we are asked in Advent to tell the story, to tell the story of his birth. Why do we tell the story of his birth year after year after year? So that we can remember. We can remember when the world tells us a different story, when the world tells us the things about us that we cringe at and say, this is who you are. Let's see if we can name a few of them. This is who you are. You are fat. You are stupid. You are selfish. You are an alcoholic. You are a drunkard. You are without any hope. You make my life miserable. How many of us have heard those words that have just struck at our hearts? Well, that's what the world wants to say to us. What the world wants us to believe who we are. But this is what God says. God says, you are my beloved, with whom I am well pleased. I knew you before you were formed in your mother's womb. I have things for you unseen and planned, because you are my gift to the world, just as Christ is my gift to you. You are my gift to the world. And all that you are, in the uniqueness of which I created you, you are a wonder. You are my beloved. Wait, I am coming. Wait, your salvation is not in this product. It is not in this drug. It is not in this item to buy to make you feel good. Your salvation is in my love for you. Surrender to my love. Allow it to consume you. Allow it to flow out of you. And you will be saved. Behold, I come, riding on the clouds, shining like the sun. God is coming. God has come and will come again. And what God asks us to do during this Advent is to open our hearts and our lives and our minds to his love, that we might be changed, that we might be transformed, that we might sing a different song than the world is singing. Because, brothers and sisters in Christ, during this season, there is always a song in the air. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.